Local Talk is the signature local interview program on KHOI that explores people, stories, and events of Central Iowa. It celebrates the creativity, diversity, and civic spirit of our community. This interview aired on Local Talk.
Well, if you've driven on Interstate 35 here in Ames, and who hasn't, you probably have noticed all the construction going on involving a flyover bridge. But you may not know that that construction has run into a bit of a problem. Well, Jackie Norman is here with a guest who can talk about all that and more. Jackie?
All right. Thank you, Dennis. I invited Scott Stodiker. He's the District 1 engineer, and he's responsible for such counties as Story County and Harding County, Boone County, and Polk, just to name a couple. He's responsible for a big portion, 1/8, did you say?
The state has six districts in Central Iowa, 12 counties of Central Iowa.
12 counties. That's pretty impressive. Thanks for coming in today.
You bet.
All right. I just wanted to start off because, the construction we're specifically talking about, as Dennis said, is the flyover ramp on I-30. And I just was curious, just for some background information, was why did this construction start?
Well, the purpose of the flyover bridge is so that we can eliminate the weave movement on Interstate 35. Right now, people from Des Moines to Ames have to take a loop to get off, and at the same time, there's another loop with traffic coming on. So currently, people are driving 65 miles per hour on two lanes, and the people trying to take the loop are slowing down to get off, and the people getting on with the loop are merging, diverging, and it's a older design that doesn't fit the traffic volumes that we have right now, with over 40,000 cars on Interstate 35 and over 25,000 cars on US 30. So with the flyover, we can remove the loop in the northwest quadrant, and that will eliminate that merge-diverge issue on those heavy movements.
That's fair, and that would definitely help out when there's 10 times as amount of cars when there's a football game in town, too. So
yeah, exactly. For those high event traffic days, it will be a nice benefit to have.
Yes, it will be. So we were kind of talking about this a little bit before we got on air. When are you kind of hoping to get it done by?
Well, the hope was that the project would be done this year. And right now, you know, we've got some issues with fixing some of the piers that, you know, there's a chance that the contractor can marshal enough resources to get out there and complete the bridge yet this year. But there's the potential with the repairs that it could move into a next year project.
Okay. And what were the delays that kind of happened? I know that's kind of a dreaded question right now, but just for some information.
Well, there's two things, really. Number one, the bridge elevations are off by 3 to 6 inches. So the piers are too low, 3 to 6 inches across the board with the six piers. But that could be a really easy fix if that were the only issue that we had, because we would just design a steel plate that's 3 or 6 inches thick and put it on top of the pier, and it would be able to build a bridge with very little delay. The second issue, and the more important one, is that when we set our beams on top of the piers, those big 10-foot beams, we got to bolt them down. So we essentially put anchors through the beams into the piers that we have in the middle, the concrete piers. And those piers have a whole bunch of sleeves to take the anchors. So those sleeves aren't positioned correctly. During the pouring process, somehow they got adjusted and moved so that they're tilted. A vast majority of the 100 sleeves are off plumb, so that when you put the anchor bolt in, it's not up and down straight, it's crooked.
That would create stress in the wrong way, wouldn't it?
Well, you can't put the beam on top of it if the anchor is crooked, right. So it wouldn't fit. So we need to chip down to get to the bottom of that sleeve and then re-pour it. So they have to go down about 30 inches to take all those sleeves off and reposition the sleeves straight up and down.
Okay. With these issues, how much would you say this would set you back in, or set the contractors back in their original estimates?
Well, it's significant in terms of months. We've been dealing with this for a couple months now, so this is going to set the project time frame back a significant number of months.
Okay, and so I just noticed myself that you guys have, because it kind of you delayed construction for a little bit there. At least it seemed like there wasn't too much activity going on. And just recently, it seems like there's been a little bit more activity. What has that been like since they've started really working on the construction site again?
Well, the delay was once we found out there was the error across the board, it was quite a process to figure out what to do to fix it. So there's a lot of back and forth with the contractor. We have to get a plan that we agree to fix in it, and they have to submit the plan to us and go through all the engineers and the calculations. So that takes weeks to get through that process, but then the contractor has to get back out there and start doing the fix. And so they've been out there the last month and a half or whatever time frame doing that fix, which essentially is chipping down 30 inches and trying not to hit any of the steel. They got to make sure they don't fracture any of the steel across there, and it's a significant amount of steel in those piers. So it's just a matter of them getting working and getting it so they can report.
That's great. So is it good for is it nice for you to see them getting back to work then after such a long delay?
Yeah, it would be preferable for me if they had three times the number of people out there working. So nice isn't necessarily a word I would use. I would like to see a significant number more people on the ground working on the project. But that's something that the department can't control. We can't force a contractor to bring in more people. When we set up these contracts, we give them a certain number of working days. And they can leave for a month and go somewhere else and come back as long as they get the job done in those working days. And if they go over, then we have liquidated damages, which on this project is pretty significant at $5,500 a day.
That's fair. I was just curious, after all these delays and stuff and all these issues that have popped up, what does a good day look like for you with this construction so far?
Well, as it relates to this project specifically, we haven't had very many good days in the last 3 months because there's just not much going on, and there's not a significant amount of force on the ground working on it. But a really good day would be seeing the piers get poured. We should be within a week of starting to see some piers being formed back up and poured. And a better day would be seeing some beams start to be put up on top of those piers and anchored down. And a super day would be seeing the deck starting to get poured before winter hits.
Yeah, that would be a great day.
So those would be good days. I haven't got them, but that's the hope.
they'll be happening soon. So, and then I guess my final question would be, one of my final questions would be, will you be, I know I'll be regularly using the interchange myself. Is it something that you're going to be using once it's finished as well?
Oh, absolutely. With my district, I go down and I have all of the state roads in Polk County, so that's probably the busier area that I work in. So I'm constantly in the Des Moines area and coming back to Ames. That's the loop that I take right now, so I'll take the flyover when it's completed.
Are you going to look at it differently when you're using it?
Yeah, I'll probably think about it differently, but...
Well, now, Scott, I think prior to this project, I've heard that interchange was one of the more dangerous in Iowa. I knew someone who was killed there who was merging to go north.
Right.
I've always heard that was a particularly dangerous place because of what you said. There's so much traffic and so many distractions and hard to estimate speeds. And I think this probably, you'll never know, but it probably will save lives, you know, in the long run.
Yeah, I truly believe that also with the design that's out there was a good design in 1960. It's a difficult design in 2018 with the traffic that's significantly higher than it was back in 1960.
Scott, has the contractor indicated how these mistakes could possibly have been made?
Not yet. That's something that we haven't fully understood. More than likely, the sleeves just got adjusted during the construction process, people going in and out of those piers, because you send people down into the piers when the concrete's being poured to vibrate the concrete to make sure it's solid down at the bottom. So I suspect going in and out that they just got adjusted, but that's really up for the contractor to finally determine what happened.
Does it give you less confidence in the contractor knowing this has happened?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, if you guys had an event and somebody didn't set up the radio station correctly and you went off air for 2 hours, would you tell me that I don't have confidence in your radio station anymore? I would just say, well, your worker that worked on it that one day didn't do a good job.
Yeah. And mistakes happen. But it sounds like we need more workers. Now, that was never a problem, building the pyramids, because there was slave labor. But sometimes you have you'd like to see more folks out there working on the project currently. Is that right?
Well, correct. In addition, we've talked to the contractor, Minnewaw Construction, about bringing in other people, but the other firms aren't necessarily able to help out right now either. I mean, I've personally talked to a couple bridge building firms in Iowa and said, hey, do you have any opportunities to help out, and they're busy.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of difficult because we forget that resources are allocated among many projects, even for one contractor. They might be involved with several things. So it's complicated to coordinate that.
Well, in addition, Minnewaw is working in other parts of the state for the Iowa DOT. They're working on other bridges. So we're hopeful that once those bridges are done, they can move resources over to our bridge because, you know, they're not able to do as much work right now with the repair work. So it doesn't do them any good to bring in four sets of crews if they can only work on one pier right now. Right.
Scott, explain the penalties. When do they start kicking in for the contractor, and how does that work?
Well, the penalties are we set up the contracts so that in this particular job, we told the contractor, everybody bidding the documents, that they had 240 days to complete it, which means it's usually a two-year project. Now, somebody could have come in and completed it in 1 year. It was able to be done in 1 year if you would have brought in a lot of forces and completed it. So this ended up being a two-year project with the contractor, and so after 240 days of good weather, because you know, we can't charge if it's snowing, it's actual working days that they can work on the contract, they will be charged $5,500 a day after that for every good day that they could work, that we consider a working day. So if this project carries over into the spring and early summer of next year, that's going to be a significant number of working days because we're pretty close to that 240 right now.
You don't know exactly when that day hits, that 240th day hits.
I suspect it will be in a couple weeks. I mean, right now it's always a give and take working on these contracts that they're saying, hey, you charged us some days that shouldn't have been charged, and we have to go back and negotiate all that and review the actual number of days. But they are significantly close to that 240.
And I think all of us can see in this room, having been there, they're not going to make it in 2 weeks. That's not going to happen. That's not even close.
No, sir, they're not going to.
I was just curious, when did they start construction on it?
Oh, they would have started last year.
Last year?
Early, yeah.
All right.
This is really instructive because, you know, we take for granted the roads we drive on and we forget the complexities in building them. And, you know, in the summer of 62, I hate to be the old guy here, my job in the summer was on a soils crew for the Highway Commission, we called it in those days. We were on a barge doing bridge sounding, that is soil sampling from the bottom of the river, where the 235 bridge is down by the library in Des Moines. That's an existing bridge. And every time I drive across it, I think and picture how the scene was in 1962 when there were so many run-down homes and bad areas down around that part of the river. And I take pride when I drive across the 235 bridge that I was out there on a barge doing the bridge sounding. Mm. And that's what we have to remember when we start to drive on this flyover, that, man, Scott and a lot of people sweat to get this done.
Well, yeah, and I've been working at the department for 31 years plus, and we've completed a lot of successful projects. We have Polk County, so we did all of 235, all of 3580. Almost every interchange in Des Moines has been rebuilt. Significant stretches on Highway 20 and Highway 30 all across our district. And what people don't understand is we've had problems on all of those projects. These are really complex construction projects. This one's just really visible to the public as you drive by, and the repairs have been really visible.
And this one will work out eventually. It'll get fixed.
Yes, it will. It will be built, and we will be using it at some point.
Thank you so much for coming in today.
You can hear more interviews like this on Local Talk Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 7 a.m., noon, and 7 p.m. on 89.1 KHOI Community Radio. You can support Community Radio through the donate button at khoifm.org.